Good evening and welcome. This has been announced as a gospel meeting. 30 minutes before this meeting started, there were many people in a room that were on their knees praying for different ones in this room. I believe, before we start this meeting, that there are those who are sitting in this room who have never taken Christ as their own personal Savior. Tonight I want to talk about that matter. Before we start, I'd like to sing a few hymns. The hymn sheet that you have, number 4, Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior for me. Long I was chained in sin's darkness, now by His grace I am free. After this meeting, if there's someone that's sitting here that's unsaved, I hope you can sing this song. Now by His grace, I am free. Number 4. Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior for me. Long I was chained in sin's darkness. Now by His grace I am free. Savior of sinners. Savior of sinners like me. Also sing number 38. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me He hath made known, nor why, unworthy as I am, He claimed me for His own. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Number 38. I know not why God Before we start, I'd like to ask the Lord's help before we read from His holy word. Our gracious God and our Father, we do give thanks that once again we have been afforded this opportunity to present Thy well-beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Savior of sinners. Tonight, our God, we would pray that Thy Spirit would not be hindered as we would open Thy precious word, and that if there is a soul here in this room, our God, we do pray that Thou wouldst convict that person of their need, that they may come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, to have peace with Thee, our God, and be on that road to heaven. And so we would ask these things in the worthy and precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Before I start, I want to say a few things. There are many young people in this audience. Turn off your cell phones, your iPods, your text messaging, because as I mentioned, 30 minutes prior to this meeting, there were people on their knees praying for lost souls in this room. This is not a time to be drawing or to be carrying on. It's a time for you to listen, because the message tonight is from a holy God, and He's talking to you this evening. I want to read a verse of Scripture to start with from the book of Romans, My brethren from Grand Rapids, remember that I've read this verse before. Romans chapter 3 and verse 4. There's a part in this verse that I want to read. Let God be true, and every man a liar. Let God be true, and every man a liar. Tonight, the message of the gospel is from God. This book, the Bible, is His word. The Spirit of God caused men to write this word. And it is this word that is the absolute truth. This is not a fairy tale book. It's not a novel. These are the words from a holy God. And when any time you open this book, you should know that God Himself is the author of these words. And so it is no light matter this evening. The responsibility that is before me this evening, as I open God's word and speak tonight, let God be true and every man a liar. Men have written books and given different sayings, and some of them may be fine, but they're not all true. This book that you have in your hands tonight, this book that I'm going to read the scriptures from, are the absolute truth. This is where the truth you will find. It is in this book. Let God be true and every man a liar. And now I would like you to turn to a text here in the Word of God, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. Matthew 27, verse 22. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? This meeting this evening is to tell you about the good news, the gospel. This gospel originated from God Himself, and it is about His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You say to me, Brian, what does this matter to me? What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? What does that mean? I will tell you what it means. Every person in this room is a sinner. It's about the sin question. This is why God offers the good news, because of the sin question. You say, but Brian, I'm a pretty good person. I'm here to tell you that there will be many good people that end in hell. And I'll tell you why. It's because they never stopped and paused and answered this question that was here that we just read. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? You see, what happened in the Garden of Eden all the way back in the book of Genesis. Adam and Eve were in the garden. They were told not to partake of a tree. Eve partook of it. Adam took also. And so, sin came into this world. And you say, Brian, how can you say that there's sin in this world? If I brought my newspaper from Grand Rapids here with me and took you to the obituary page and pulled it out, you'd suddenly realize that as God said in the book of Genesis, dying thou shalt die. If I got a newspaper from right here in St. Thomas and I went to the obituary page, there would be dead people that are mentioned in that newspaper. There's a testimony that sin is in this world because we have death. So don't think for one moment that you are going to escape death because you are a sinner and God calls you a sinner. He says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You were born a sinner. I was born a sinner into this world. There's nothing you can do about it. You're born that way. And then guess what? It doesn't take long for sin to rear its ugly head in any small child as they grow up, as we become adults. There's not a person that can raise their hand in this audience and say, I have never sinned. An outward act of sin. There's not a person here that can say it. You're a sinner because you were born that way, and you're a sinner because you do things that are contrary to a holy God. Tonight I want you to see why this is good news, the gospel of God, the gospel of Christ. It's because of the sin question. And I'm sure there's people in this room that are sitting here this evening who have an uneasiness because they've never taken Christ as Savior. They have never settled the sin question. And they walk through this scene uneasy. They say, I'm trying to do the best I can. But there's an uneasiness. You're right, there's an uneasiness. Because you're a sinner. You're lost. You're helpless. And you're hopeless. Back in Michigan, where I live now, my wife and I like to go about 16 miles from our house. There's Lake Michigan. And there's a place called Grand Haven. And we like to go there a lot. And we like to watch the sunset. It's beautiful. There's a pier that goes out, and there's a lighthouse. And some of the sunsets are the most beautiful things you've ever seen. In September of 2003, two young men, one of them's name was Andy Fox. They jumped into the water and were swimming, and they were having a good time. And there was an undertow that was out there. The one boy was able to swim back, but Andy says, I can't make it. I can't make it. And they, people on the shore, they dialed 911. No one could get him, and he drifted out. And young Andy Fox lost his life because there was no life preserver. None on that pier. He called for help. No one wanted to risk themselves to go out into that water. But if there had been a life preserver, they could have gotten it to him, and they could have rescued his soul. Tonight, I'm here to tell you that the Lord Jesus is your life saver. Because you are out there in the sea of life and the sin question not being settled, you are going to sink. And there's going to come a day that you are going to stand before the Lord Jesus, and He's not going to be as Lord. He's going to be as judge to you. And so tonight, you're a sinner because you're born that way. You're a sinner because you do things that are wrong. We practice. And so, this question, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? You know, in a few weeks, it'll be April 14th. Some of you in this room may remember what April 14th is. April 14th was a Sunday in 1912. It'll be 96 years. There was a boat, a huge ship. It wasn't a boat, a huge ship that sank 400 miles off of Nova Scotia. A lot of you remember the name as the Titanic. You know, if you've ever read the history about the Titanic, and you read about it, it is a picture of people going through life. You know why? That ship was huge. Almost 900 feet long. Like that's like four city blocks or something. 100 feet wide. This huge ship. One of the deckhands said, God himself can't sink this thing. It took off from England, heading over to the United States, going through the Atlantic. Made a few stops and started coming over. Now, you know, on that boat, you go and you read the history about this. There were boys and girls. There were young men, young women. There were rich and poor, some of the richest people in the world. They estimated the wealth of the people that were on that boat, $600 million estimate for 1912. And that boat heading across the Atlantic. I'm going to read to you an excerpt and I read this because I see in life this going on. And that is why we have these gospel meetings. And I call this the unheeded warning. On Sunday afternoon, now the ship hit the iceberg at 11:40 p.m. Sunday night. Sunday afternoon, the Titanic's wireless operator, he forwarded this message to an office in Washington, D.C., Baltimore, and a few other places. Here's the message. April 14, the German steamship America reports by radio telegraph passing two large icebergs in latitude 14.27, longitude 50.08, latitude, Titanic, BRSS. the warning went out hours before that Titanic hit those icebergs. Tonight, the warning goes out. You are a sinner if you're sitting in your seat and you have not accepted Christ as Savior. The warning is going out tonight. This man in charge of that message, I don't know if he relayed it or didn't, but they went full steam ahead. And at 11:40, they hit the iceberg. In under 3 hours, there were over 2,200 people on that boat. Inside of those 3 hours, only 705 lived. Boys, girls, men, women, rich, poor, they went to a watery grave. They either drowned or they froze to death in that cold water of the Atlantic Ocean. And you know what? You read some of the accounts. People thought, oh, they're just having a drill. I'm not paying any attention. And this is exactly what's happening in this world today. People don't pay attention. They've heard the gospel many times. And people start to say, I don't want to hear it again. I'm here to tell you tonight that if you're sitting in your seat and you do not make a decision for Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you don't settle the sin question, you will be cast into hell. You will be cast into hell. And God will be righteous in doing that, because the sins that you have committed, the sin question, has to be paid for. You say, Brian, how about if I never sin again? The debt that you already incurred still has to be paid. You know, God's plan of salvation, as I mentioned, required that sin had to be paid for. The sin question had to be settled. And so God, He sent His well-beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, down into this world. For those of you that know Christ as Savior, it's absolutely amazing why the Lord would save a soul like me. For different ones of us that are sitting here, I know not why God's wondrous grace to me, He hath made known. God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He came down to the scene, born of a virgin. He walked this scene down here, and He is the only one, the only person that walked the face of this earth that was sinless. There is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. The Lord Jesus, God's own Son, came down to this scene, and He walked these very roads down here, this earth that we inhabit. The Son of God walked. And He said to man, I want to show you what God feels towards man as creature. And so there were people that were blind and they couldn't see. The Lord Jesus walks up to them. He touches their eyes. They're made to see. There were people that couldn't walk. The Lord Jesus could say, rise up and walk. There were people that had diseases that he could, by just someone touching the hem of garment, they would be healed. He showed the heart of God to mankind. But you know what this world gave to him? They said, "We don't want you. We don't want you." And in this chapter, this Roman man, Pilate, said, "What shall I then do with Jesus, which is called the Christ?" And they said, "Let him be crucified." This is what this world did to the Son of God, who came down to show the heart of God to all of mankind. They said, "We don't want you, and furthermore, we're going to crucify you. We're going to nail you to a cross of wood." The most hideous way to kill somebody. And they take the blessed Savior. They spit upon him. They beat his back. They take a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They make fun of him. They do all of these things. And I might add that all of that suffering that the Lord Jesus endured at the hand of man did nothing to settle the sin question. Oh, but the sin question would be settled. They took the blessed Savior and nailed him with nails through his hands. And I believe that the palms of his hands were exposed for all of mankind, because I believe that God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, with his hands outstretched, is saying to you tonight, you sitting in this room that don't know Christ as Savior, come to me. Come unto me, and I will take care of the sin question. I love you, and I died for you. You know, they nail him to a cross of wood. They do all these things to him. And God says, "Man, you've seen enough. You've done enough." And he shrouds that scene in total blackness and darkness. And that is when a holy God poured out judgment on the Lord Jesus Christ as he hung there on that cross. He poured out judgment that I deserved, that every person in here that knows Christ as Savior, that you deserved. The Lord Jesus Christ took your punishment. He took mine there at the cross of Calvary. You know what? I can't enter into that kind of suffering. No one in this room can enter into it. But you know what? You go back in these Psalms and you read some of them. You read some of these Psalms, and it is as the Spirit of God has pulled back the curtain for you a little bit, and you can see the thoughts of the Lord Jesus Christ as he hung there on that cross in those 3 hours of darkness. My God, why? Why hast thou forsaken me? A holy God pouring out judgment that I deserved, that every blood-bought saint here in this room deserved. He paid and settled the sin question for me and for you. And then we hear that cry. We hear that cry. It is finished. You know what? There's not a person in this room that can dismiss their spirit. There's not a person here who can say, "I'm going to die right now." But only the Creator could do such a thing. After he cried, "It is finished," he dismisses his spirit. Oh, but you know, that's not end. That's not all. It says a soldier with a spear pierced his side, and blood and water without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sins. The blood had to come from the blessed Savior to settle that sin question. A holy God poured out the judgment upon him that we so rightly and justly deserved. And the blood coming from his blessed side is my title to glory. And now I can stand in front of you this evening. I can stand in front of you, and many other people in this room can stand here with me and say, the sin question for me has been settled because the Lord Jesus died in my stead. And unless here tonight you, as you're sitting there in your seat, realize that you are a sinner, you cannot be saved. You must realize that the things that you have done, the nature that you have, that you are a sinner, and that the only way to settle that question from God's holy word is that you must put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear God, I'm a sinner, you can say in your seat here tonight. I accept your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as my Savior, that he died for me. I accept him this evening. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Have you ever seen such love displayed? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There has never been a greater display of love as told out in the message of the gospel of God. The gospel of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the centerpiece. God's own Son. God is now just. The sin question, when he looks down at me, and if you tonight take Christ as Savior, when God looks down at you, guess what? He sees me as he sees his well-beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Does he see the Lord Jesus Christ as a sinner? No. He sees his Son as doing a perfect work. And you tonight can be in that same way as perfect in God's sight. And so, the message of the gospel, it's one of life and happiness. It's not a message of sorrow. Now, it will be a message of sorrow if you choose here tonight to walk out those doors and say, you know what? You made me think some. But you know what? I got a lot of things I'm doing right now. Some other time. Yeah, I'll think about it. And you put it off. The scripture says, behold, now. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now. Now is the day of salvation. As I said, I see in the story of the Titanic so much of what's happening in this world. You know that ship, if you've ever seen some pictures of it, it had all of the amenities. It had a band. It had big, huge tables, big, huge dining rooms, all of this type of entertainment. And you know what? That's exactly what this world has to offer today. There's football, basketball, hockey, you name it. There's the theaters, there's movies, there's all kinds of things. And in my mind, Satan is taking people right down the lazy river to hell. Because he takes people and he distracts you. Some of these things in themselves, there's nothing wrong with playing a game of basketball or playing hockey. Some of these things, there's nothing wrong with them. But Satan uses these things to distract your mind, to take away the time that when you could stop and think about your never-dying soul. He uses them. And he's a master at it. You don't have to pick up a paper. And you have all kinds of sections. You have the sports. You have the entertainment. You have all kinds of things. And so tonight, I urge you, do not put this off. Because I am going to read to you, and as I want to remind you, let God be true and every man a liar. I'm going to read to you the book of Revelation. And it talks there about the great white throne judgment. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20. And this is a most solemn scene. I'm going to read it to you. And then I want to make some comments. Verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Tonight I've told you about the love that God has for your soul. The love that Jesus Christ displayed on the cross of Calvary when he died for you. And he took the punishment that you deserve, and he shed his blood for you to reject that offer of salvation. There will come a time, and there are those people in this room that know Christ as Savior. We will be standing there when people that are from this audience tonight, I fear, will be at this great white throne judgment. And we are going to hear these words. Depart from me as the Lord, as judge, takes you and casts you into the lake of fire. Tonight we're preaching about the destiny of your never-dying soul. And don't believe for one minute that you're going to get out of this. This is not an appointment you will miss. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. You will meet the Lord Jesus as judge if you reject him tonight. And I will stand there with other people in this room. And we will see as you are taken and cast into the lake of fire. Does this not move you? Does this not cause you to stop and look at yourself and say, "Dear God, I'm a sinner"? Sorrow and repentance, saying and owning before God that you're lost and that you need His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is required. If thou shalt confess Jesus is Lord and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, after they crucified the Lord Jesus, they laid Him in a tomb. But oh, God the Father looked down and He said, "No, my Son has done a perfect work." And God raises Him from the dead. We have a Savior that's alive. There's not a tomb somewhere where He is. We have a Savior who's alive and in the glory. And He's calling to you tonight, sinner, come. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Those are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ this evening. And so, there is a responsibility on your part tonight to realize how solemn this matter is. When you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ as judge, there will be no jury. There will not be a decision, and when we say, "Let's have a discussion," and then we bring the matter to the judge. No. There will be a judge. There will not be a jury. The Lord Jesus will issue a sentence. And guess what? You won't be able to appeal it. You won't be able to say, "Wait a minute, you didn't get all the evidence." Because the Word of God says, "Every mouth shall be stopped." And so, tonight, as I mentioned before this meeting, there were brothers on their knees praying for souls in this room. And as we have read from the Word of God here, there are people that are praying right now for your souls. There's moms and dads who have children, I'm sure, that are in this audience who their children have never made a confession of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And so tonight, as you sit here, I'm not asking you to raise your hand. I'm not asking you to walk up here. But I am asking you, I am pleading with you, I am begging you to take Christ as Savior, because He loves you and He died for you. He wants to save your soul. As you're sitting there in your seat, you can say, "Dear God, I'm a sinner." And you can come to Him tonight. He won't turn you away. You can't say, "Oh, but I've done terrible things. I'm awful. He won't save me. Him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out." He loves you and He wants you to come to Him tonight. Will you take that offer of salvation? Will you take God's offer tonight? Or will you let it slip by? You know, there's no guarantee that you'll be here tomorrow. You know, back in, now I do a little bit of different stuff, but years back, I worked in an emergency room down in Atlantic City, New Jersey. And I worked the night shift. And my responsibilities were to, people weren't breathing right, to hook things up to them and so on and so forth. And I remember vividly, one night working and being called down to the emergency room, and they said, there's been a house fire. And they said, they think there's some people in there. You know, first there was a little girl. She was about 7. And they brought her in. Then a little few minutes later, they brought in her brother. And then they brought in another brother. And then they brought in the dad. And you know, their house had caught on fire. And smoke had filled that house. You know, they all perished. Do you think they went to bed the night before, expecting never to wake up? You have no guarantee or no promise that you are going to be here tomorrow. And using words that, remember my dad always preaching and saying, you are but a heartbeat from eternity. One heartbeat away from eternity. And so tonight, I urge you and plead with you and beg you to take Christ as your Savior. In closing, I was brought up down in Jersey. And there was a brother there named Adrian Roach. I'm trying to find my paper on it. But Adrian always used to quote this saying. I'm going to read it to you. This is for all of us. What think you of Christ is the test. To try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of Him. As Jesus appears in your view, as He is beloved or not, so God is disposed to you, and mercy or wrath are your lot. Some take Him a creature to be, a man, or an angel at most. Sure, these have not feelings like me, nor know themselves wretched and lost. So guilty, so helpless am I durst not confide in His blood, nor on His protection rely, unless I were sure He is God. Some call Him a Savior in word, but mix their own works with His plan, and hope He is help will afford when they have done all they can. If doings prove rather too light, a little they own they may fail. They purpose to make up full weight by casting His name in the scale. Some style Him the pearl of great price and say He's the fountain of joys, yet feed upon folly and vice and cleave to the world and its toys. Like Judas the Savior they kiss, and while they salute Him, betray. Ah, what will profession like this avail in this terrible day? If asked what of Jesus I think, though still my best thoughts are but poor, I say He's my meat and my drink, my life and my strength and my store, my shepherd, my husband, my friend, my Savior from sin, from thrall, my hope from beginning to end, my portion, my Lord, and my all. These words were written by John Newton, the very man who wrote Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. And so, tonight, I do pray that you would take Christ as your own personal Savior and settle the sin question once and for all. I'd like to close and sing, "Just as I am, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come." Just as I am.
Thank you.
come just as you are. Shall we close the word of prayer? Our gracious God and our Father, we do give thanks for the gift of thy love, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life there at the cross of Calvary, endured the punishment of a holy God, who shed his blood, who is now risen and on high. Blessed Savior, we give thanks for that mighty work. And this evening we would pray that if there is a soul or souls in this audience, that they would take thee tonight as Savior. May thy Spirit, our God, work in the hearts of those here this evening. So we would ask these things, giving thanks in the worthy and precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.